D-Mace Vingan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mace, and Adam Vingan. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. So, Trevor, let's go back to Saturday, the Titans preseason opener, a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cam Ward plays two series. Looked solid. That's what our general consensus was. As you went back and watched the film, what did you see from Cam Ward? What did you like? What didn't you like? Let us know.
Well, Adam, I thought he did fine. It was a good start. There are things that he can learn. I did not see it like a lot of the fans saw it, where he's the second coming of Shedeur Sanders, apparently. And a superstar in the making. I don't think he showed that in this game, but he didn't really need to. He got in and out of the huddle. He got everybody lined up right, and he didn't freak out. The moment wasn't too big for him. So I thought that was a good start. You know, the passes he threw to Calvin Ridley, you know, in the second drive, he had three consecutive completions, and it was really good. But you know, if you look at it a little bit more closely from a standpoint, not of nitpicking the young man, but of looking at it from a comparison to what he'll need to do once the regular season gets going, I looked at it this way. You know, the first one was a throw to Ridley sort of on the right side, about 15, 20 yards down the field. He was wide open. Ridley got the ball, turned and ran for a bunch more. And big play, right? Well, that was a busted coverage. And the coverage didn't quite know what was going on. And I think you saw that when Cam Ward just kind of double-clicked it a little bit. He wasn't quite sure what he was looking at because it wasn't an NFL coverage. It was all messed up. And to his credit, Ridley found a hole in the zone, and he sat down and he stopped there and put the ball and off he went, right? The next one was a throw to the left sideline where he layered it over and underneath defender to Ridley going down to the ground on the sideline on the left. And that was a nice throw based on what was there to be had. But the defensive back was a rookie who was on the underneath coverage on that one. And he got mesmerized by a short stop route right in front of him. And he stalled there instead of sagging back underneath the out route behind him, and so that was the busted coverage too. But give Cam credit, he saw both of those and he hit them both, and they were both nice throws. And then the third one was a deeper crossing route from right to left to Ridley. That was a really nice throw. I mean, that wasn't a busted coverage, that was pretty tight coverage, and it was a really nice play. But I thought overall, you look at some of the things that he did that really were helped by mistakes by Tampa's secondary, and then you look at the fact that Tampa wasn't able to get any pressure on him because the starting offensive line of the Titans did a great job against the backup pass rushers of Tampa and just shut him down. But with that, you see that he, and these are things that he can work on, when he had plenty of time to throw, he would throw sometimes off his back foot. He would throw fading away from the throw, even though there was plenty of space in the pocket from an NFL standard to step up and use proper technique and proper footwork. There will be all kinds of times when he won't be able to use proper technique and footwork because the pass rush will not allow him to do that. But in this game, you know, he did a bunch of cattywampus college improvisation with his footwork when he didn't need to do it, and that'll affect him when he's got tight coverage and, you know, when you're facing NFL starters when the regular season rolls around. So these are things that I thought that he did well, some things that I thought that might have looked really good on TV, but, you know, they're basically a beginning to build off of. And overall, I would give him a B, and it's a good place for him to be right now as he moves forward.
As our resident offensive lineman, let's discuss Peter Skoronski for a moment. Pro Football Focus predicted Skoronski will be the most improved guard in the NFL this season, noting how well he played down the stretch last season. As you evaluate Skoronski, what is his ceiling in your mind?
Football. You know, and I think he, you know, in consideration for All-Pro. In other words, it wouldn't surprise me if he was second team all pro at some point, and maybe better. And so the difference between Pro Bowl and all pro is that, you know, there's one all pro left guard and there's a bunch of Pro Bowl guards. And so there's your difference. Yeah. But anyway, the thing of it is, when he first came into the league, he ended up having his appendix out right before the season, I think. And that affected his physical ability to do what he needed to do. And then ever since he first came into the league up until this moment right now, he was playing with some combination of left tackles next to him who were abysmal or inexperienced or both. And center, he had Aaron Brewers, a 270-pound center, who was going to get tossed around like a rag doll a lot of times, and other guys that rotated in over the course of his first couple of years in the league that really weren't starting caliber centers in the NFL. So he's sitting there at left guard, which is a new position for him. He played left tackle in college. And he has nobody that he can rely on as an anchor physically and then mentally and from an experience standpoint next to him on at left tackle. And the same thing next to him on the other side at center. And so he's trying to help those guys when he's a rookie trying to figure out a new position. And, you know, it took him a while to kind of figure out how to play his position. And down the stretch last year, I think he did a really good job. I think he improved. And I think now that he's got a legitimate, bona fide, experienced, talented left tackle in Dan Moore, and when Lloyd Cushenberry comes back from injury, he'll have the same thing at center. And all of a sudden, he won't have to be the guy that's going to hold up three positions. He'll have to hold up his position, and he'll have plenty of help on both sides for the first time in his career. So I'm very interested to see how he performs in that scenario. And do keep this in mind, too. This is not an excuse for him or anybody else, but he was one of the best offensive tackles in the nation at Northwestern coming out of college. I mean, he was phenomenal at North. He wasn't really an NFL left tackle because of his arm length and some other things. But in college, that's what he played, and he was really good. Well, when you move inside the guard, it is a completely different world because the guys you're playing against have a different build than the ones you're playing against at tackle. Normally, when you're at a left tackle, you're playing against the taller, more lithe, more athletic pass rusher types. When you're a guard, you're playing against those 330-pound warthogs. Plus, when you are at tackle, you've got lots of space. And so your problem is managing the space and the angles. But things tend to happen kind of slowly because there's so much space out there. When you're in a guard or center, for that matter, everything is much closer to you at the snap. And everything happens much faster. And so your technique has to be different because your opponent's technique is going to be different. You've got to read it and execute it faster. All these things complicate learning a new position in the NFL for the first time, in Skoronski's case, left guard from left tackle in college, and doing it without an NFL center on one side and without an NFL tackle on the other side. And so I think Skoronski is in position right now to make a massive leap forward, not just because he's improved individually, but because now he's got people around him that know what they're doing.
Trevor, you're right. I watched Peter the last preseason game as well as in practice, and he looks like the most improved offensive lineman. Right now, he is the best offensive lineman the Tennessee Titans have. He looks like he's moving a lot more fluent. It looks as if he's just – It looks as if he's changed his body composition and it's allowed him to move a lot better. And that comes, too, with experience. But you mentioned the center position. Corey Levin is in now, and I think Corey Levin is doing a good job. But we know that he's not the long-term starter. Cushenberry, he said he will be ready for he's trending toward being ready for the first game of the season. How important is it going to be that he get into practice as quickly as possible, especially as this offensive line starts to gel?
D-Maze, I think it's important that Cushenberry not get into practice as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing they can do with him is rush him back and have that Achilles tendon have a setback in terms of injury. You know, with a big, powerful Clydesdale like that, you know, Achilles is a very difficult injury to deal with because of the maximal pressures that are being put on you. And it's not just like you run straight forward, mm-hmm. right? And there's pressure when you do that. The problem is that when you make contact with a defender, he's pushing back on you. And the angles are slightly different as you push on him and he moves and he pushes back on you. And all these things are transmitted through to the ground through your body, down through your ankles into your feet. And what controls all that is your Achilles tendon. So I think that he would want to play against Denver because that was his former team. But even though he might be telling the team how ready he is to play that game, it would be an enormous mistake for the team to listen to him. And I would like to see him maybe play a series or two in that game, if that. And then a week or two later, now start to fold him in. They do have the luxury to be able to do that because Corey Levin is one of the best backup centers in the NFL. I think he's a solid option if you don't have Cushenberry there. He's not Cushenberry, but as a backup center, he's very, very good. And three of the first four games, starting with Denver, you're going against some of the best defenses in the league. I mean, Denver led the league in sacks last year, and they were fantastic all around as a defense. And so, you know, not having him for that first game, the first several games, if they decide to be cautious with Cushenberry's return, would hurt their ability to win. But what would hurt their ability to win more would be if they rush him back and he re-injures that Achilles, and now they don't have him for the rest of the year. And so I think that to make the best of a bad situation, they need to rely on Levin and let Cushenberry ease his way back, unless the doctors say and Cushenberry says legitimately that he is ready to go. And that's a possibility, too. But if there's any question at all, they cannot play that guy yet.
We're talking to Trevor Maddich from ESPN. And, Trevor, this will be good for you because of the way you study the college game as well as the pro game. I'm fascinated by the Anthony Richards situation. We looked it up the other day. Anthony Richardson and Cam Ward were born 3 days apart. But you've got one guy in his third year and one guy just getting started. But you've got the Colts. You read what's being said right now, and it seems like they're actually tinkering with the idea of almost moving on if he doesn't make any progress this year. Is it simply that he should have stayed in college and done what a Bo Nix and a Cam Ward have done and play more college games? Was that, in retrospect, a big mistake?
Yeah, a lot of people loved Anthony Richardson coming out of college when he did as an NFL quarterback. Certainly the Colts did, better than the ones in the fourth pick in the draft. But I didn't. I did not see him being anywhere near ready to be an NFL quarterback, even though NFL systems now have evolved more towards the college game so that college quarterbacks could have more success early in their careers. But that also means that they'd better have that success or the team might just move on. You know, with the rookie salary cap that's been in place for a long time now, it's not that hard to move on from a quarterback that you don't think is going to be who you thought he was going to be. Look what the Bears did. They drafted Justin Fields, you know, was it number one pick, I think. And then they gave up on him during his rookie contract, and he's a New York Jet now. And the Bears took Caleb Williams, and they might have to move up on him. Remember that Caleb Williams didn't play at all in their first preseason game. He did have a long session before the game run by the head coach of the Bears with the two starting receivers. And he was poor then to throw on time to a spot, especially in the red zone. And remember, there's no defenders, just one receiver. All he had to do was just simulate the snap and throw an out. And he wasn't able to be consistent in throwing those outs accurately. And they didn't let him play in the game. And I've got to wonder if part of the reason is they didn't want him to embarrass himself on national television. Well, so they're having all kinds of problems right now with Caleb Williams, who was also the number one pick in the draft. So you go back to the Colts because, you know, that's the Titans play them twice a year, same division, all that. The thing about Anthony Richardson is that in college, he was a great runner. He had a really strong arm. I mean, if he stood inside a barn he could throw the ball right through the wall. You just didn't know which wall he was going to hit from inside the barn. And every once in a while in college, he'd drop one on a receiver running down the field, but more often he just missed the guy if he was running down the field. But he was able to make a bunch of plays that the defense couldn't stop because of his legs. Well, that's mildly interesting, so move him to tight end or running back until he shows that he could do it with his arm. And so, you know, I think Richardson would have done himself a lot of favors by staying in college. But, you know, the thing about Cam Ward is that he's played so much in college, so much more than Richardson did, in different scenarios with different coaches, and he was able to assimilate what he needed to assimilate to be very successful at Incarnate Word, and then transfer to Washington State, and then transfer to Miami. And Anthony Richardson never had any of those options. Anthony Richardson, all his life, was able to make up for a very raw and unpolished game as a passer with his legs. And that's great in high school. It's good in college. And in the NFL, it's inadequate. And so I kind of was glad when the Colts drafted him, because I thought they had basically wasted a pick, and it would be a long time before the Titans defense would have to worry about a quality Anthony Richardson on the other side.
Trevor Mathich brought to you by Houston Clinic Orthopedics. When experience matters, Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll chat next week.
Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure to have Trevor Mathich on the program. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Titans president and CEO Burke Nyhill discussed PSL sales for the new stadium in an interview with A to Z Sports. There was something he said in that interview that raised our eyebrows. We will discuss that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.